If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
This morning, I'd like to speak on the subject of faithfulness. What does it entail? How can we grow it? How can we make our faithfulness more effective for God? Let's turn our Bibles to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Galatians 5, 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness. Says in God's word that without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's not hard. It's impossible to please God without faith. And I believe in the last days, God is looking for faithful believers that will go the extra mile, that will do whatever God asks us to do. The definition of faithfulness is a firm, unswerving loyalty to someone or something. And this morning, I'd like to ask this question to each one of us today. What are you faithful to? Are you faithful to your family? Are you faithful to your job? Are you faithful to your hobbies? Your football team? Are you faithful to God? At the top of the list has to be God every time. You have to be faithful to God if you're really going to compete in this world as born-again believers. Because we are in a race. And that's why Paul puts such an emphasis on faithfulness. I remember years ago, a young youth pastor, he was great with youth, had a great youth group, everything was going well. And then all of a sudden, he got sidetracked. He became unfaithful to the Lord. Had to give up his position. And today, if you meet that young man on the street, you would never know that he ever believed in God. How did that happen? How did he get so far from God? And I believe he got far from God because of his unfaithfulness. If you're going to stay close to God, you got to be faithful. We have to be what they say, doers of the word, not just hearers only. It says faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God. So how do we get away from God? When we start listening to outside voices. When we do that, we become confused. And this young man, that's what happened to him. He began to take some religious classes over at George Mason University. Atheist professors that were trying to teach him the Bible. Terrible mistake. You know, if someone doesn't believe the Bible, how can he teach me about the Bible? And because of that teaching, because of they said they found fault in the Word of God, they convinced that young man that all this was just a fairy tale. That church was nothing. That serving God was a waste of time. And he believed the lie, and he walked away from God. I believe we're living in the last days. Says this in 2 Timothy. For a time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around themselves a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. And man, can we see that throughout churches, especially in America. They don't just try to hide their sin. They are glad about their sin. And the reason they've got away from being faithful to God is they got away from the Word of God. You have men and women today standing up in the pulpit today, preaching right at this very moment, that don't believe the Word of God. How can they lead a congregation except to destruction? But we need to remain faithful no matter what comes our way. So today I want to talk about three aspects on how to stay faithful to the Lord. The first building block, I believe, of faithfulness is commitment. You have to be committed to someone or something. This has to do with your will. Because when you are committed, no matter what comes, good times, bad times, you are committed to God and His ways. Paul writes in Acts, or John writes, or not John. John. Yeah, one more. It's funny when you get old how your mind just goes whoop, you know, like that. But in the book of Acts, chapter 14, says this. You know, Paul was there doing a great work. He would go from city to city to city, preaching the Word of God, being faithful to God, committed to God. And it says, but in Acts chapter 14, verse 19, it says, but Jews from Antioch and Iconium, having won over the multitudes, they stoned Peter and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. But while the disciples stood around him, he got up and went back into the city. And the next day, he went away with Barnabas to Derbe. And after they preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra again. Wow. To Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in their faith, saying, we must go through many hardships and tribulations to enter the kingdom of God. Why would Paul do this? Why would Paul go back to the same city that tried to kill him? They stoned him, and they thought he was dead. And the reason is he was committed. He was committed to the ways of God. And no matter what came his way, he was committed to do what God called him to do. It was God that called him to go back into that city. So here he is, stoned, laying on the ground, looking dead. His disciples gather around him, begin to pray. He rises up. Now, if I'm Paul, what I'm doing, I'm heading out of town. I'm not going back into that town. I am leaving town. I'm getting the fastest horse I can. I am going away from those people. But what does it say Paul did? He got up, and he went back in town. Now, it doesn't say that any other disciples went with him. I don't think I'd volunteer to go on that little trip either. I let him go alone. But there he goes. And because of his faithfulness, because of his commitment to God, many became believers because they saw something different in him. And if we're going to be faithful, we've got to have commitment in our lives. Some people think that once you become a Christian, your troubles are over. I hate to bust that bubble, but that is so not true. When you become a Christian, your troubles just begin. Right? The world hates you for no reason. Just because you're a follower of Jesus. But the great thing about following the Lord and being faithful, and when troubles come your way, it's for a reason, it's for a purpose. God doesn't put anything on you, it's not for a purpose. When God brings trials and tribulations to your life, He is doing it so that you may grow up in the faith, grow up as strong in Him. It says this in Psalm 119. It was good for me to be afflicted. Wow. So that I might learn your decrees. It's amazing when you're going through a difficult time in your life, how much more you learn. Is that true? Man, your prayer life goes up. Woo! Your Bible reading goes up. Woo! Man, you are seeking the Lord every second of every moment of every day, saying, Lord, what is going on here? It's amazing how close you get to God. God wants us close. And He brings trials and tribulations your way to make you stronger, to make you more like Him, so that if He calls you to go back into that city that just stoned you or tried to kill you, you're willing to go back because you are faithful to God and His ways. James writes some of the craziest stuff in the Bible. He writes this: consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, and that you'll be complete, lacking nothing. Count it all joy. Are you joyful in the trial? I gotta confess, I'm not very joyful when trials come my way. I'm thinking, Lord, you gotta help me. What's going on here? But we can count it as joy because if we really think about it, God is taking us through this path for a reason, to make us stronger. See, this Christian life is not a sprint. It's a marathon. We have to get up every day seeking the Lord. Say, Lord, what do you have for me today? Sometimes it'll be bad. Sometimes it'll be difficult. Praise God that we have a lot of great times, good times. Amen, so that we can endure it. Back in 2012, I was privileged to go to Cuba. And we helped build this church there for a guy named Hunter. Hector Hunter was the pastor there. Now, I don't know if you know much about the history of Cuba, but in 1959, when Castro took over, he made a decree that every church could not fix up their church. If the roof started leaking, you had to leave it alone. If the windows got broken, you had to leave them broke. And that no new churches were going to be built in his country, because communism can have no other god except the state. And he figured, okay, after a few years, these people will get old, they'll die out. We won't have to worry about all these Christians, all these fanatics. But Pastor Hunter, who had been in prison three times, was faithful to the Lord. And then in 2012, we were privileged to go there with a team of just 10 of us. We could go in at 10 at a time. And there was 30 teams going in. In 2013, the church was built. Brand new church. And today, if you get to go to Havana, Cuba, there's an Assembly of God church there. Three-story buildings, huge, packed to the gills. Why? Because Pastor Hunter was faithful. No matter what came his way, he was faithful. And I had the privilege to go back a few years later to see the finished product. And I worked on the headquarters of the Assemblies of God there. And everyone I talked to, the superintendent, the secretary, the treasurer, the assistant superintendent, every one of those people had been put in prison one time or another for preaching the gospel. And they all counted it as a privilege to be faithful to the Lord. How could they do that? You can't do it on your own strength. But when you stay faithful to the Lord, He gives you supernatural strength that no matter what comes your way, you will stay faithful. You have to be committed. So the first thing that we have to have in our lives, we have to be committed. That has to do with your will. What's the second building block of faithfulness? The second building block is devotion. You got to be devoted to the Lord. This involves your time. It takes time to serve God. He will take up your time. He has to be number one in your life. You can always measure somebody's devotion by the amount of time they put in to whatever they're doing. You show me a person that you never see in church, that don't read their Bible, they don't pray very often, and I'll show you a weak Christian that are on the edge of failure. But you show me somebody that's on fire for God, that's devoted to God and His ways, and will do whatever He asks you to do, and I'll show you somebody that can do great and mighty things through the power of God. You would say, well, Brother Dave, it's dangerous to be in church right now with the COVID and all that. It's always been dangerous to be in church. It's always been dangerous. You think the first century church didn't have danger? You think people in Cuba, when they come to church, they weren't in danger? We've always had danger. We are fortunate in the United States that we haven't had the problems that a lot of countries have, where at any moment the Secret Service could come in here and shut us down and arrest me and take me off. It may come that way, but I can guarantee you one thing, I'm going to be faithful to the Lord. Whether I preach in prison or I preach in Harvest Church, wherever it may be, I am going to be faithful to God because He is in charge, not the government. And I like to speak to all of you today, be faithful. Be committed to the Lord. Be devoted. It says this in Acts chapter 2, and they were continually devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to breaking of bread. They were devoted. They spent their time with one another because Jesus is in the people business. He's all about people. And it's amazing. The other day I was reading a story about a pastor in Cuba, Pastor Allen, and he said in 2006 the government came in because he was preaching a little bit they didn't want to hear about. They tore his church down to the ground, demolished it. So what did Pastor Allen do? He rebuilt it. He rebuilt this church. And then you know what happened about 3 or 4 weeks ago in October? They tore it down again. And there he is on Facebook. He says, we will rebuild. You know, because the church is more than just the building. It's people. And he's got to figure it out. He says, what we do is I tell my congregation, if they come in and start tearing our church down, you pretend you're looters. Take the pews, take the Bibles, take the hymns, take them. And then once they finish tearing your church down, we will rebuild and we still have our stuff. So that's what he does. Because he knows at any moment, because he is faithful to God, he is devoted to God. And you can tell when someone is devoted. I did something crazy the day after Thanksgiving. I actually went shopping with my wife. Now I know why they call it Black Friday. It's a terrible place to be. It's terrible. I mean, people everywhere beeping and honking the horns and no parking. I'm thinking, why are we out here in this mess? But see, I'm devoted to her. I would rather be fishing. But it was windy that day, so I couldn't go fishing. So, but I am devoted to her, and she's devoted to me. Devotion. I'm going to give you a quiz. Everybody likes quizzes? No one loves quizzes. I hate quizzes, but I'm going to see if you get this right. I'm going to name a person, and you tell me what they're devoted to. Tiger Woods. Golf. Michael Jordan. Bryce Harper. Tom Brady. A plus. Everybody got everyone right. Mother Teresa. To God. Billy Graham. To God. Put your name on there. What will people say about you? Are you devoted to God? Do your co-workers know that no matter what comes your way, you're going to stand up for righteousness? God. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all the other things will be added to you. Devotion, time spent. God wants your time. And as you spend time alone with God, you'll be amazed how you grow in your faith. And your faithfulness begins to grow. Years ago, they had this dumb idea that I will spend quality time with my kids. That is the dumbest thing I have ever heard of in my entire life. You had these professors get up there. Well, spend quality time with your kids. Your kids don't care about quality time. They just want you to be around. If you're going to be a good father or a good mother, you got to spend time with those little guys. Because one day they'll grow up and they'll walk out of your life. So take the time, not just to be with your kids, but to be alone with God. Let Him build you up. So now we've got commitment. We've got devotion. What's the third thing that you got to have that you're really going to build up your faith? You got to have passion. What are you passionate about? This has to do with movement. When you're passionate about something, you will move to that object or that person or that thing when you're passionate about it. What drives you? What are you passionate about? Are you passionate about your job? Are you passionate about your family? And all those things are good. You need to be, because you will lose your job if you don't show up. You have to be passionate. But is your first passion, is your first love Jesus Christ? Is He the most important thing in your life? It says that Jesus was moved with compassion. He's at the tomb of Lazarus. You all know the story. He has been dead 4 days. Jesus was delayed, I believe on purpose. And it says He was moved with passion. And He did something crazy. He ordered the stone to be rolled away. Why would He do that? Mary said, "Well, my brother stinketh. He's been in the tomb for 4 days. He's decaying." And Jesus ignored her and had the stone rolled away. And what did He say? "Lazarus, come forth." And guess what? Here comes old Lazarus hopping along in the grave clothes. And Jesus said, "Loose him." Even though it looked hopeless, even though it was over, even though there's no sense in rolling the stone away and looking at the body, Lazarus was gone. But Jesus was moved with passion. And when you and I are moved with passion, we can move mountains. And God wants us to move mountains sometimes. He wants us to be passionate about church. He wants us to be passionate about His Word. He wants us to be passionate about prayer. God wants passion. There was a great football player to play for the Washington Redskins. His name was Art Monk. And when he was inducted into the Hall of Fame, he said this: "Most people think my passion is football, but I'm here today to tell you that it's not football, it's Jesus Christ." In front of all those people, because he knew that it's not just about football, it all ends and begins with Jesus. Because he was passionate about the Lord, and no matter where he went, he shared the gospel. For the Word says this: "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So where's your treasure? A good way to find out where your treasure is, look at your bank account, look at your wallet, look at where you spend your money, spend your time, spend your energy. That'll show you where your heart is. I pray today that everybody has a heart for God. That you stay so faithful, that you're committed, you're devoted, and your passion is to do what He calls you to do no matter what. Ecclesiastes says this: "Whatever you find your hand to do, do with all your might." And the great thing about serving the Lord Jesus Christ, we all don't have the same gifts. Some people are passionate about songs, about leading worship. Some people are passionate about preaching or teaching. Some people are passionate about helping the homeless, using your hands, using your ability to make this world a better place. So whatever it is, the Word of God says, do it with all your might. Do it with all your gusto. Be faithful to that calling, whatever God has called you to do. Our calling is to go overseas and build churches and Bible schools and orphanages and things like that. That's my passion. And even though it's dangerous some places we go, it doesn't make any difference, because when I go, I don't just take my American Express, I take Jesus along. So today, examine your hearts. Are you faithful? Because it also says in Galatians, this is what an unfaithful person looks like. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, fractions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It is so important that we stay faithful to the Lord. He's faithful to us, isn't he? Has he ever let you down? Has he ever walked away? He's with you every step of the way. So if God is faithful to us, we need to be faithful to him. God saved you from your sin. There was no hope in your life. You had no future. You had no hope. You had no way out. And then all of a sudden, Jesus Christ comes and makes a way where there seems to be no way. And everybody that sits here this morning that's born again has a way. You have a hope. You have a future. And that one day we'll all see Jesus face to face. What a day that will be. But you have to stay faithful from the beginning to the end. For you know people, and I know people that were at one time on fire for God. You could not keep them from the church, and now they are far from God. What happened? They let their faith die. And when you look at them, you read this list I just read, and you see some of those things in their life. So that's where unfaithfulness leads us. But faith looks like this: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, self-control. That's the type of person I want to be. I want to be faithful to God. And when my name is called, I want everybody that knows me personally, they will not say, well, he's faithful to the Redskins, because that's a waste of time. Don't laugh too loud now. They have 1-2 in a row. Come on. I want people to say, well, Dave Nichols, he was faithful to God. Faithful to God. See, because your family and friends, they're looking. They're watching you. They're examining your life. I know today my brother's in heaven because he saw my life and he never saw me waver. And finally, before he passed away, he gave his heart to the Lord. Cutting it kind of close. But God promised me years ago, he will be into the kingdom. And the more I saw his life and the way he was going, I'm thinking, Lord, he has no hope. There's no way. But I remained faithful and kept praying, kept believing. And you have people like that in your life. Don't give up on them. You keep praying. You be faithful to the end and leave it in God's hands. We serve a good, good God. He hears our prayers. He answers our prayers. So how is your faithfulness? How are you doing this morning? Are you committed to God? Are you devoted to God? Is your passion all about God? God wants us all to be faithful to him. For it says this, let your light shine in such a way that men will see your good works and then give glory to God. The reason we do good works is because of God. He gives us the strength. And men notice. Women notice. People notice. And they notice that it's not you. They notice it's from God. faithfulness comes from God.